It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Let's go to Pennsylvania now because Pennsylvania has a new electoral map, and it could give Democrats a boost in their hopes of winning back the House in November. The Pennsylvania State Supreme Court released a new congressional district map on Monday. This was just weeks after ruling that the map the Commonwealth used for three election cycles was gerrymandered in favor of Republicans and unconstitutional. Now, we did a deep dive on gerrymandering and its power to silence millions of voters on the show on Friday. If you missed it, you should definitely download the podcast of Friday's show. It's called Drawn Out. But let's go to Pennsylvania now. With me now to explain this new map and what it means is Katie Meyer from WITF's Capitol Bureau in Harrisburg. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Well, Katie, the court has issued its decision. What does Pennsylvania's map look like now?
So I'll say the old map was, you know, heavily favored Republicans. About five seats were consistently won by Democrats in the last three elections, and that's out of 18. The new map is, I think, really intentionally drawn to try to mitigate the effects of that gerrymandering. And so we're roughly estimating it would probably give Democrats between 8 and 11 seats. Now, I will note, Pennsylvania is a really sort of striated state, so Democrats just largely live in the cities. So it's actually really difficult to represent them properly. We have more registered Democrats, but it's hard to get all of those votes to count as much. So a lot of Republicans are pretty upset about this map, saying it's a Democratic gerrymander because it's so clearly drawn with the intention of making the districts even.
And a lot of the Democrats are concentrated in the big cities, Philly and Pittsburgh, on two other ends of the states, and a lot of the Republicans in between in that vast middle of Pennsylvania. Katie, the takeaway went to two districts in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago, the 6th District and the 7th District, two heavily gerrymandered districts tucked in the southeastern corner of the Commonwealth. What's happened to those two districts?
So it's actually really interesting. It's difficult to do a number-to-number comparison because part of what the Supreme Court did is they totally renumbered everything. And so the districts that are now what the 6th and 7th were, they look much more compact, more contiguous as per the court's order. And you do see, though, you see some municipal splitting. You see some, towns kind of being pulled out of, you know, the communities where they had been previously, just in a bid to get Democrats a few more votes. It looks less snake-like and twisty than the previous map did. But, that's not always a good indicator of like what people are doing. So I think it's a map that was very intentionally drawn to maximize Democratic votes in certain areas.
We've been spending a lot of time looking at the math of gerrymandering, not necessarily the shape of districts. We're going to talk about that next as well. Katie, let's step back. Big picture. Democrats need 24 pickups to try to take back the House in November. That's going to be about the popularity of Donald Trump. That's going to be about a number of things. But what does the map changing in Pennsylvania mean to that whole effort? I mean, you said that Democrats could get 8 or 10 or 11 seats instead of their normal 5.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's big, especially for a big Republican swing state. I suppose I can't even call it a Republican state like Pennsylvania. I think it's, you can't overstate that this is a significant thing. However, I mean, you know, and I know the House is large. So 5 seats, while Democrats are going to look at that and be like, awesome, you know, it's not going to flip the House over.
Probably won't flip the House over, but 24 seats, and this might lower the bar for Democrats trying to take back the House. Meanwhile, Republicans in Pennsylvania say this might cause a constitutional crisis, and they're pledging to take this map back to court. This fight may not be over. Katie Meyer from WITF, my childhood public radio station in central Pennsylvania. Katie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Political redistricting is complicated and contentious. Just listen to what's going on in Pennsylvania. It might have you wondering, isn't there an easier way to do all this? It seems obvious at first, just make districts proportional. Now, the math of proportionality is pretty easy to get your head around. If 40% of voters in a state are Republicans, say, then about 40% of lawmakers elected to the House from that state should also be Republican. That seems fair intuitively, but the mathematicians who understand elections say not so fast. At least in our system of government, proportionality wouldn't be fair at all. Mira Bernstein is here to explain. She's a member of the Metric Geometry and Gerrymandering Group at Tufts University.
I think this is one of the most unexpected things that comes up when I give talks to people. I've given talks to audiences from high school students to, you know, League of Women Voters to scientists. And except for political scientists, everybody is surprised at this fact. You know, I ask people if a party got 55% of the votes, what percent of the seats should it get? And everybody says 55, and they have no idea that our system is not actually built for that. So let me give you a few examples of why that wouldn't necessarily happen. One example is my own home state of Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, reliably about 30% of voters vote Republican, let's say in presidential elections. We have 9 congressional districts. So you would expect, if it followed the idea of fairness that most people have, so we have about a third of our voters are Republicans, so a third of our districts should be Republicans. But it's been a long time since there's been a Republican congressional district in Massachusetts. All 9 of our districts are Democratic and have been Democratic for a while and will remain Democratic for a while. So I've heard people say, oh, clearly Massachusetts is gerrymandered. Because why don't you have Republican districts? But the fact is, it turns out that there are very, very few places in Massachusetts where Republicans are a majority. So there are lots of Republicans, but they all live among the Democrats. So if you were going to make a Republican majority district, even if you were a Republican legislature somehow miraculously appeared in Massachusetts and tried to create a Republican district, they couldn't, because there's just not enough places in the state where Republicans outnumber Democrats. This is one way you already see where the winner-take-all system, you know, in every district, the Republicans get ignored. And the winner-take-all system creates 100% Democratic delegation. So that's one way that you can get lack of proportionality. A different way is actually with competitive districts. So it's very funny because when I talk to people about what is their ideals for democracy. So one thing they always say is some kind of proportionality. And the other thing is people always say, we want competitive districts. We want competition. We don't want safe districts for, you know, where politicians won't be held accountable. But if you think about it, let's say you have a state with 10 competitive districts, right? So all the districts are roughly 50-50. So let's say, as it happens in the current election, 80% of the districts go to the Democrats. So 8 of the 10 districts go to the Democrats and 2 of the districts go to Republicans. Then the vote percentage is still about 50-50. Maybe it's 51 in favor of Democrats. But now the Democrats got 8 out of 10 districts. So in competitive elections, a very small change in the percent of people voting can make a huge difference in the percent of the seats the party gets.
Shouldn't a state, the people drawing the map, try to get close to the ideal of proportionality, even if it's not going to work out every time? There's no guarantee in any given election or certainly in any district, but shouldn't the driving motivation when drawing a map to get close to an idea of proportionality?
So that is certainly one thing you can ask the legislatures to do. You can pass a law that says that the legislature should try to draw the districts so that the expected number of Republican and Democratic districts is roughly proportional. Here's what you lose that way. First of all, you lose competitive elections. The only way to draw such a map is to draw safe districts. So in other words, you can gerrymander for proportionality. And in fact, there was a Supreme Court case in the 70s where I think it was Connecticut actually did gerrymander for proportionality. But they did it basically as a bipartisan gerrymander to make things safe for incumbents. So actually, politicians love gerrymandering for proportionality. California was doing it for a long time because the way to do that is to make safe districts, and they don't mind having safe districts. And the Supreme Court said that they deviated a little bit from equal population of the districts in that plan in order to make it proportional. And so the lawsuit claimed that they deviated from something that's constitutionally required for an illegitimate reason, which is an incumbent favoring gerrymander. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can deviate from that for the sake of proportionality. In other words, proportionality is a goal that you can strive for if you want, but lack of proportionality does not constitute a violation.
Mira Bernstein is a member of the Metric Geometry and Gerrymandering Group at Tufts University.